Grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As I've announced, we're going to begin a midweek sermon series called The Five Marks of the Early Church. We're going to be looking especially at the book of Acts, or the church in the book of Acts. But also I want to read from some of the church fathers to see what they said about the church in the later second and even third centuries. And to, of course, compare what the church of our day could learn from that church. Let me ask you, here's a funny thing. Should we sanctify the early church and all that they did and said? Of course not, right? They were human beings like you and me. They were people who were seeking to follow Jesus with faithfulness and integrity. But this is what interests us, because they're so close to the period of Christ, and because many of them were taught by the apostles themselves. For instance, Polycarp, a church father, was a disciple of John. Can you imagine that? If you said, I was taught the faith by St. John, that would be cool, right? That doesn't mean that everything Polycarp says is right, but it's always fascinating to hear what they have to say. The other thing I want to do, and I don't want to turn it into just this, but I want us to be aware that when I go through the five marks of the early church, we should be aware that by the late Middle Ages, the church had abandoned all five of them. There's reasons we're Lutherans, right? We are Lutheran because the church fathers of our church body looked into the church history and said, we've departed from centuries 1, 2, and 3, right? And so that's what we want to be aware of, not to attack any other church bodies, but to just bear in mind that over time, the church had gotten rich and powerful, and men who do that sometimes come up with self-aggrandizing ideas, right? So let's be aware of that as we do this, to look at this early church and ask ourselves, as are we as Lutherans following in their path? This morning, or this afternoon now, here's the one word you need to know. I mean, there's going to be five attributes of the early church. The first one is this: democratic. Does that sound like a funny word to say? Democratic. Let's get there. Now, I want to say something about, when I say democratic, I do not mean, you know, name-taking, side-forming, running against people. I don't mean political commercials. I don't mean anything like that. When I say democratic, I mean that the church has leadership, and how is that leadership chosen? Funny enough, by the vote of the people. It's not as clear as you would like to think in Acts chapter 14. By the way, this whole text started with the idea that Paul and Barnabas are just men, right? Paul and Barnabas come into the city of Lystra, they heal a man, and everybody in that era begins to think, oh, that's Zeus and Hermes. And Paul is like pleading with them, we're just men like you. Just men like you. The church sometimes forgets that. We can sort of think like, oh, church leadership, they're cut above, right? They're holy men. No, the more you get to know me, you'll realize that just ain't so, right? They are men as all of us are. After that incident, then they get persecuted. They get stoned nearly to death. And instead of fleeing, run right back into the city and start setting up churches. And here's where the translators struggle with this. And check this out in your personal studies too. Acts 14:23, this translation says, Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them. Well, that doesn't sound like democracy, does it? Paul and Barnabas appointed elders. Well, it's more complicated than that. And here's what I mean. The Greek word for appointed is kairotoneo. Now, why do you want to know that? It's two halves. Kairos. Guess what a kairos is? Kairos is a hand. And kairotoneo is to extend the hand. What's that called? That's called voting, isn't it? The translators, and not all, but most translations say Paul and Barnabas appointed elders, but in my NIV, in the study notes at the bottom of the page, it says it could be translated, or Paul and Barnabas had elders elected. Kairotoneo. Who would you like as your next pastor, candidate A or candidate B? All who want candidate A, extend a hand. Have you done this recently? Kairotoneo actually means to vote by raising the hand. Isn't that funny? The reason I wanted to mention this and mention the church when it started to get it wrong is, remember, the church got it wrong for so long, everybody just assumed that voting had never happened. Isn't that right? When bishops became powerful, when bishops told you who your pastor was, everybody thought, well, the church has always done that. Mm-mm. It's actually not so. The early church voted for their pastor. Now, some people will say kairotoneo doesn't mean to vote, but it means that Paul and Barnabas extended their hand to put the blessing on them. Is that a possibility? Maybe. Except the way we answer those questions is we ask ourselves, does the verb kairotoneo ever appear anywhere else in the New Testament? Answer, yes. And here it is. Over in 2 Corinthians 8:19, St. Paul is talking about Titus. And you remember there's a period of time when some of the early churches were struggling financially, and Paul asked the churches that were financially prosperous to help them, and he said he wanted them to take up an offering and then put it in the hands of reliable men. And this is 2 Corinthians 8:19. What is more, Titus was chosen by the churches to accompany us. Same verb, kairotoneo, and the translators, all of them go this way. Titus was chosen to accompany us as we carry the offering. I believe that if you take Acts 14:23 and take 2 Corinthians 8:19, you come up with the idea that it wasn't Paul and Barnabas as bishops extending the hand of blessing. It was Paul and Barnabas running something like a congregational meeting and saying, let's vote. That doesn't sound like the church of the Middle Ages, does it? You know why? Because it's not. This is the church of the first century. Here's a funny question to ask. Since many translations, and most do, read that Paul and Barnabas appointed them, one of the questions we could ask is, are there any translations that translate Acts 14:23 differently? I'm glad you asked that question. The Geneva Bible of 1599, which was the highest selling Bible in the world before the King James Version, translated this way, and when they had ordained them elders by election. Isn't that interesting? In 1599, the Geneva Bible did that. William Tyndale, one of the finest translators of the early Reformation, actually doing in the 1530s, has the exact same words, and when they had ordained them elders by election. Those people are saying by election to translate the verb kairotoneo. There's a brand new translation called the Evangelical Heritage Version. It was produced by our brothers and sisters in the Wisconsin Synod and the Evangelical Lutheran Synod, not happy with all the modern translations. They printed this Bible last year, 2019, and this is what it says. They had elders elected for them in every church. How about that? Is that one of the possibilities? Certainly. And there's another Bible translation. It's sometimes a little bit too simple in its language, and so, but it does say this. They had the disciples in each church choose spiritual leaders. So in the first century, how did you call a pastor? You voted for him. I hope that sounds familiar to you. Now, I wanted us to look at the book of Acts, and I do want us to consider what the Greek words mean, but I want to talk about the early church, right? There's a church after the pages of the New Testament, and I want to look at only the first few centuries. There is a document from the early church called the Didache. Some of you have probably heard it. It was written in the AD 90s. In other words, almost the exact same time as the book of the Revelation, contemporary with the Bible. It's so early we don't know who wrote it, but we know it was authoritative in the church. And the Didache says this, and I quote, "You must elect for yourselves bishops and deacons, for their ministry to you is identical with that of the prophets and teachers." Didache, AD 90-95, "You must elect for yourself bishops and deacons." And later it says this, same document, Didache, elect therefore yourselves bishops and deacons worthy of the Lord, men that are gentle and not covetous, true men and approved. First century church. Third century church. There's a book called The Apostolic Tradition written by a man named Hippolytus. When I say third century, actually very early, almost the year 200, AD 200, Hippolytus says this, let the bishop be ordained after he has been chosen by all the people. That's in the first century in the book of Acts, in the first century in the Didache, in the third century in the apostolic tradition, elect. The church was democratic, seeking the will and the consensus of the people. And notice these words in Acts, that they had fasted and prayed. Right? That's how I know it wasn't just side-taking, it wasn't just list-making, it wasn't if you vote for this guy, I'll vote for... It wasn't any of that. It wasn't horse trading. It was a people of God seeking God in prayer and fasting, say, who would God call to lead us? And then they toneoed their kairos, right? What would give them the basis for everyone voting for the pastor? Because, you know, there are some churches that think of the pastor as elevated and as the lay people is not as elevated as he. What would give the people the ability to do that? Well, there is this funny little part of the Bible that says that we believe in the priesthood of all believers. Right? This is not a trick question. Who is the head of the church? Jesus Christ. Not the voters. Not the pastor, not the council. Who's the head of the church? Jesus Christ is the head of the church. That's Colossians 1:18. That's Ephesians 5:23. Jesus Christ and no one else. No other man, no other woman, no human being. But Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And then guess what we are? All of us are priests. Isn't that funny? 1 Peter 2:9. He's talking to the church. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Everyone here entrusted with the word of God to read it, to understand it, to share it, to be a witness in the world. Whose job is that? Ours. I love this quotation. Some of you have probably heard of this man. Again, another early, early Christian, a man named Tertullian. Which, by the way, that's an awesome name, right? If you ever have a child, you should think about that name. Tertullian, he lived from 155 to 220. That's early, right? Tertullian says, are not laymen priests also? It is written, he hath made us kings and priests. Only the authority of the church has made the difference between clergy and laity. And hear these words. If there are no clergy around, you offer the Eucharist. You baptize. You are a priest yourself. That's pretty pointed, isn't it? People sometimes ask me that. Pastor, in an emergency, if there's nobody here to baptize, what should we do? You know what you should do? Baptize. With water in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's not Pastor Walt, that's Tertullian in 200 AD. A kingdom of priests. There's one head, Christ the Lord. He is the only one crucified and risen for our salvation. The rest of us are priests serving that message, serving that Lord and serving the Word. But we do know that everybody has your job, your life, but we do want to elect one person specifically to be focused on doing the work of the church. We'll call that person the pastor. But if a whole kingdom of priests decide we're all priests, but we're going to select one person to act on our behalf, in our name, and in the name of this congregation, and we want someone like that, how should we get them? How should we select them? Vote for them. Democratically, not necessarily in the bad way that the word has come to mean now, but democratically, all the priests equal to one another asking for the movement of the Holy Spirit. Lord, lead us, our guide. That's just one of the marks of the church. The early church, the first century, second, third, fourth century church is democratic. Amen.